When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about crying. Humans are the only animals that cry from emotion, so we're going to be talking about why that is, what happens when we actually look at people who are crying, and dissect this unique human trait.
Welcome back to Side Note.
do your best to like cry.
To actually convince someone on a podcast I was crying.
If you're an animator, like, or if you were the voice of an animation, they're like, okay, now Mitch,
but that's
cry.
Different because that could be like much more intense sometimes. Okay, but I'll pretend it's like genuine, like.
Oh my god, that's so good. My body's actually like going into the mode.
But then like sometimes like a cartoon character would be like, no.
Oh my god. That was like a brick hitting someone's head.
Sorry, that was gonna be so loud. I more meant like, you know how like even like anime.
That, like, people are gonna have like ripped off their headphones.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that noise to come out of you. We're like, no, I can't.
No, okay, this is a baby.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a good one.
Is that a dinosaur talking?
I can't do it. Okay, I can only fake cry if it's so real.
Crying is so freaking interesting. So excited to get into the studies of that. But like, what's up? How's your week been?
My week's been shitty. Probably should have been full of crying. Maybe it would have been a release.
Oh, but, interesting. We'll get to that.
I don't know. I've just had like kind of a bad week, but I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know if it's stress. I don't know if it's what. But you know when you just have those times when you're just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you get this as much as I do. I feel like I get this every other week.
Yeah, like, I know. I think the listeners can know the off week and the on week.
Where I'm just like, I have no idea what's wrong. I've had enough coffee. I took an Advil. I have tried to stay hydrated, and it's just like, I didn't have a great sleep last night, but sometimes this just happens where I'm just off.
We went to bed late. We had a bit of a party night.
Yeah.
But I do think sometimes, like the other day, we woke up and I was like, I feel hungover. And I'm like, is it because we ordered pizza? Like, we're always trying to figure out what's wrong, but I'm like, maybe it's a pandemic and the fact that there's no sun in Canada or in Toronto.
It's true. Like, the pizza might have played a role.
That's
because I do notice when I like eat junky food, the next morning I feel crappy, regardless if I'm drinking or not. And I coincidentally literally just saw somebody tweet, is it crazy that I'm 23 and I think I have a cheesecake hangover?
Okay, there we go. That Twitter person knows what's up, and write it down for an upcoming Side Note episode. Does cheesecake and pizza give you hangovers?
What has been holding me through the week is a video game I've been playing called Celeste on Switch, which is very addictive. It's about mental health. It was rated one of the best games. It's so good. And maybe I've been manifesting it in my life, but it's about this sort of neurotic character. You're going through these kind of puzzles and stuff, but ultimately there's a storyline around it where you're working through your problems. So at one point...
It's a video game.
It's a video game. So everything is kind of like metaphorical. Like you are climbing a mountain and you're like trying to persevere through your goal.
So is life. So
but
is
then
life.
Like your demons are really like... the part of you that's logical and tries to discourage you from doing stuff. Like the things that you're facing in the game are mostly yourself, but she has this like best friend or friend that she meets on the mountain. That's kind of like a very calming force for her and like teaches. I don't know. I don't know how far in the game I actually am, but it's been a great game.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's been, I recommend it to anyone so far, but I'll give you an update when I finish.
Well, if it's like rated the best, then it's usually definitely means vouched.
It was good, but
Dr. Anthony vouched for it.
Dr. Anthony Fauci approves. How's your week going?
Good. I mean, I always feel bad because like we live in the same home and I'm like, my like outlook on reality has been great. And I'm like, I didn't think you were that tanned, but checking in with my boyfriend?
Could you not tell I was just like spicy and fiery this week?
I really didn't think you were that. I honestly, I'm like, am I emotionally like, this is going to be so interesting. We're talking about crying because this is part of it, is like the way other people react to sadness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, am I like dead inside? But no, I okay. Anyways, we'll talk about it when we get there, because I'm like, I'm actually just like going over in my head, like, am I crazy? Well, what I really enjoyed this week and made me so happy was The Crown. We finished The Crown season 4. And I maybe were a little bit behind because I know everyone was talking about it before Xmas holidays. And I only started watching in season 3. But I'm
also
obsessed.
Some people were like, to live in 2021 and just learn about the monarchy is maybe unique.
Yeah, the British
monarchy.
Some
people are like, oh yeah, sorry, the British monarchy. That's the one.
Sometimes they like to think it's the monarchy of the world. In fact, they're the colonizers of so many places that they kind of are freaking now.
But it has been interesting because neither of us in particular have ever known that much about the
Oh my God, the
queen.
Things that I Google, I'm like, Prince Charles is her son? Like I literally, like people would be like, oh, come on, Gregory.
Seriously, yeah.
And also like not a hot take at all, but I'm like, I love Diana.
Like, I know. I wonder.
I honestly am obsessed with Princess Diana now. She's been dead for 20 years. Like, yeah. Why am I?
And you're like tweeting it. I don't know if you're sure, but yeah, you're so in love. Every episode, you're like, oh, I just want Diana to be in it. She's so down to earth. She's so relatable to the people.
The actress is incredible.
She really is.
And I think that the actress is going to have to deal with the type, like, similar fame that Diana felt, where people are going to look at her and put on actual. Like, I think if I saw
that kind of
Emma
Corrin
in public, I would like start shaking and be like, you have hugged the child with AIDS. And she'd be like, I did it. Like, I'm younger
than
you.
Oh, my God. And the poor Charles guy, everyone's just like, we hate you. Does everyone actually hate Charles in real life? Because I hate him in the show.
You must. He was so likable in season 3, season 4. I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but he's just, like, evil. I hate him. They're all so, I mean, this is, I guess, what happens when you get born. They do an okay job of being like, it's tough to be a royal. But in general, I'm like, you guys are all so annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. It's like, I mean, I don't want to say that they have like the best lives, but obviously their struggles are, I don't know. It's just that same thing where it is like obviously more money, more problems, and it probably, we can't relate to the struggles they go through and the fact that he has been born into this thing where he is, you know, going to become king at some point unless he dies before the queen, which at this point is actually crazy that could happen.
Honestly, it could.
Whole life was being told what to do. You know, like obviously that's
we absurd. All have, hun. I have no sympathy for them. Anyways, I know it's trying to, and like the show's trying to build sympathy, and if I don't even have it after that, I'm just like, no.
I do a bit, and I honestly, related to our topic today, crying, sometimes we should talk about this. Maybe we'll do a whole episode on empathy, because I think that sometimes you do cry more, and like especially in movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I sometimes think I'm more empathetic or more of an empath. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. No, I would love to. We will be talking about this, because when we talk about when we've cried, I haven't cried that much in The Crown, and I think it's interesting to think about crying and the British monarchy, because their whole thing is like, we are stone, we do not cry, crying is weakness, like all that kind of like really antiquated way of thinking. Is like what is plaguing them based on the show. And it's sort of like going to be really interesting when we talk about crying. But first, let's get into...
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Mine is about a really cool animal. What do you think is one of the most cool, interesting animals that exists on this planet today?
A morning dove.
Okay, wow. So boring, but not actually.
Hey, don't drink a morning dove.
I mean more like so typical, you know, just like okay, available okay, okay. at any moment.
Like unique one, think like rhinoceros like
Australia.
Beetle.
Australia. Think like this thing that is like, is it a mammal? Is it a bird? Is it a reptile? Is it a
platypus?
Yes.
Wait, really?
Sir. Yes.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah. I was like trying to be like, what are like the quirky ones where every once in a while they'll be like, did you know this animal has electricity coming out of its bill?
Honestly. So this week I learned that they have just completed the first genome, like a full map of the genome of the platypus.
I think the platypus was annoyed. It's like, well, you sure did the virus real fast. You haven't even done me yet.
Yeah, seriously. Well,
we need the virus one.
It's only in Australia. It's a really unique animal. And it, I think, is one of the weirdest and coolest creatures on the planet. So, like you said, there are a lot of quirky characteristics about it. It has like a beak or a bill. It has fluorescent fur, venomous spurs, and skin that releases a milk-like substance.
Okay, hot.
Cool. Okay, so they're known as monotremes, which means that they lay eggs, but also nurse their young with milk, which is really unique because, you know, birds lay eggs and other like reptiles and stuff lay eggs.
Okay, this is so funny. Evolution just went ham on that one. Like, yeah, just like it's like, okay, you have a bill. Like that's weird enough now, but you're actually going to nurse your eggs with milk. I love it.
And like, I don't know if other creatures do this. I think that is what a monotreme is. So there must
so
be other, a few
Australia,
other creatures.
That island went
They basically, so the genome has revealed that they are a blend of birds, reptiles, and mammals. Like they have these different genetic markers from all these different types of species.
Okay.
Something crazy I didn't know. This was known before the genome part, but they have 10 sex chromosomes. So you know how humans typically have two, XY? They have 5Y, 5X.
So gender is a construct for humans. And let me tell you, it's a construct for the platypus.
And they have more in common with birds like chickens than mammals like humans, which is so weird. But ultimately, what the genome showed was not so much... Like, it doesn't tell you that much in and of itself about the platypus, but it lets you understand the evolutionary process. So what they've realized now is, how did we go, or how did, you know, creatures evolve from laying eggs to being mammals that give live birth?
Well, that's kind of what happened. We evolved as amphibians out of the water.
Exactly. Like and so this platypus is kind of like an intermediate animal that would have diverged and fulfills a really specific niche, and that's why it really only exists in Australia. I think only the east coast of Australia, so it's like fairly limited, probably just because for whatever reason it could still survive there.
1 second, I need to picture it. Never eat. Okay,
I know. I honestly, when I said east, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this.
Decide
while
I'm talking. Sydney,
but do you say
reef.
Never eat what?
Shredded wheat.
Okay. I sometimes used to say, never eat sour watermelons. But no, I say
shredded. What? That is wild. You went, are you serious? Who taught you that?
I don't know.
You went rogue. Your teachers went rogue. Sour watermelons.
Well, okay. Well, why would you never eat shredded
Actually,
wheat?
Actually, shredded wheat is so much weirder, and I always ate shredded wheat.
And like sour watermelons, like you shouldn't
actually
eat.
Makes sense. It's teaching you to not eat a sour watermelon. Whoa. Okay. Sorry for dragging you about that. And I'm like, yeah, it's shredded wheat. It's like my favorite cereal.
So either way, I think platypus are so cool, so interesting. And now we know a little bit or a lot bit more about them. And it helps us know a lot more about the species and evolution on this planet in general.
Also, platypuses are queer. Like,
for sure.
Are you
they're
kidding
so
me?
Alt.
Yeah, they're literally alt of all animals. They're alt and they're like in Australia, which is like, I would argue, not alt. So they're even like,
oh my
more
God,
alt.
You're always dragging Australia.
Always drag Australia. They're like a Melbourne, like wearing like you know, like all black with like a mullet and like a newly blonde mullet as a human, as a platypus. But they're also, they have an art degree.
Mm-hmm.
But because of their like intense like showing of evolution, they make like science fiction art. You know what I mean? They make like sculptures about science fiction in Melbourne.
And it's not like fully accessible to the mainstream.
Oh, God, no.
No, okay, yeah.
You go in and you read the little
thing. But it's flashy enough that people notice it. They're like, I have a beak, though.
Yeah. It's definitely like, if you're like, study art history, you're like, I'm obsessed with the platypus and like what they're doing. But only art history majors know who they are. And when you read the little like art blurbs beside their art, it's like gibberish. You know what I mean? It's like the sci-fi future based on the genomic.
The platypus
sequencing.
Doesn't know how to write, Greg.
That's true, but it certainly knows how to semen milk out of its fur or whatever.
What did you learn this week?
Okay, so it's really interesting because you're talking about something that relates to the book that I'm currently reading called Metazoa, which is about starting with, and I think you know and love hashtag Australia, these types of animals, like starting with like the jellyfish coral of it all, like how we emerged from that species all the way up to humans going
from creatures that would have come from the ocean.
Yeah, so we all came from the ocean, and we're going to talk about that when we get into crying, because all land animals have to create tears in order to lubricate their eyes, because who else doesn't need to do that? The fish and things that are in the ocean. Oh, so like, gosh. We only started producing tears when we left the ocean, crying for our former life.
You know what, I don't know enough about this, but it is also so interesting that there's just like mammals that went back into the water. Mm-hmm. And then now they probably also make,
honestly,
I don't know if whales make tears, but they might, because they're mammals in the water.
We are freaking going to get to this. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about crying.
So what did you learn this week?
I'm also like, it's like, of course they went back. Like, it's hell over here. Like let me back in the ocean. And it's like, good Lord, it's on fire. We have to worry about someone named Donald Trump. Actually, we don't. Bye. Okay, moving on. So bees. So we're getting to the point of insects. Like, when you think about the animals that were able to cope outside of the water, to evolve out, you can sort of start, like, they go from shrimp and then they kind of like move into like an insect type being, because you can sort of picture how that sort of like the exoskeleton of an insect could thrive in the water and then make its way out. So I'm only at insects right now, and then it's going to keep going.
Oh, in your book. Okay.
Yeah. So it's always trying to talk about consciousness and like this subjective way that we view the world, like we view the world with subjectivity, and trying to understand at what point were animals able to be like, I am here observing, and like sensory input. And so bees have moods. So this is like some really interesting research about the consciousness of bees that is like very new.
Like they are sassy, or they're funny, or what?
Okay, so this is what I'm gonna say. They essentially have good and bad moods. So like, what I find really interesting is this sort of like philosophical study of killing a bug and then being like, why do I not care? Like, did it not have pain? Is that not a conscious being? Like,
I get disturbed when I accident. Like, sometimes I intentionally kill a bug and then immediately after I'm like, oh my God, why did I do that? Like fruit flies, even, you know, where you're just like, oh, go away. Like,
yeah, exactly. So yeah. Like that's an interesting thing that I think everyone can relate to. Like, why do I not care? Whereas if I like went outside and killed a squirrel, I would be like traumatized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So bees are actually, after being physically shaken, seen to be more pessimistic, fearful, and in a bad mood.
Huh.
So when you start to look at if animals have nociception, which we sort of relate to like pain, but really what it means is like a detection of damage to their body.
Okay.
You look for their tending and protecting an injury. They seek analgesic chemicals. So they do lots of studies where they'll be like, there's an analgesic over here. And if they go for it, they're probably in pain, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Learning to avoid particular behaviors or situations. Or they make trade-offs in choice situations to balance like the badness of a perceived experience. Okay. So after physically shaking a bee, they notice the behavior of the bee is different. It is literally the way that it makes decisions is based on an expectation that something's going to go wrong.
Huh.
And then when they give a bee random rewards, the opposite happens. They're less pessimistic. They're able to do more types of behaviors that assume the situation's going to go right.
It's interesting to me that that's being correlated with mood. But as I'm sitting here, I'm like, I guess that is maybe what a mood is. Because obviously I've heard about this happening with mice. Like, you can condition mice to push a button and get a treat, or like know that something might electrically zap them, and the same can happen with dogs, and it's kind of like this anticipatory thing, but I've never really thought about it being a mood.
But also I think that is interesting, and like I think when you start to study moods and consciousness, it gets really convoluted, and philosophers I think will have different opinions on what a mood is. Like, I actually think you could exist in this world and be like, I think
that's
moods are this,
mood.
And like, but I think what's more interesting for me in this is that you're talking about mice and dogs, which we more naturally are like, oh, my dog's in the...
Of course it has.
Yeah, it's like insect and, bees is like, you're getting to that point where you're like, when I look at it, I'm not thinking
it feels like it's just this like simple thing.
And it has like neurons, and like when you think about plants. Anyways, fascinating stuff. So what I just learned is that bees react like that, and it made me be like, oh my gosh, okay, insects, like I have to be, you know, more aware. I don't know. But like, how do I think of consciousness in regards to other living things is something that I've just been like learning about.
That's nice. I mean, sometimes the only way I make myself feel better when I kill, say, a fruit fly is I'm like, well, I mean, it only lives for like 2 days. So,
well, that's so interesting because you know what?
But I know that's bad still because it's, yeah, it's relative. And that's like its whole life.
Yeah. And I know. Are you kidding? You're a human. It's like you only live like 80 years. It's like nothing on the scale of the universe.
Yeah.
But like the 2 days thing is interesting because they think that's maybe why it hasn't evolved to feel pain, because it's actually not evolutionary advantageous for it. Their way of keeping themselves alive is just mass reproduction numbers, right? That like, it's like one dies is not
avoidance
actually a
big deal. Isn't like to learn to avoid something, you're the not pain. Alive long enough to really have that that's, same thing happen again.
Exactly, which is interesting because you brought up like kind of the reason why it actually might be okay to kill it because it's only 2 days alive. Anyways, fascinating book, cool. Metazoa.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to read that when you're done.
Okay.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
Okay, yeah, give me your like I no, it's too can it kind of sounds like laughing sometimes.
Which is so cool because laughing and crying, we cannot tell the difference when you take the tears away. Okay, wow.
Where
I
do
love...
we begin with crying?
Okay, I have a question I want to start with.
Okay.
When is the last time that you cried?
Well, as I said, I had such a bad week, but I didn't cry this week. So I guess it was more stress induced than it was like emotionally sad. But
like, when's the last time that well up the tears?
Pretty recently. I mean, not to talk, I don't want to talk about it on the podcast. Just obviously I've had like some like family things happen and like deaths in the family. And obviously it's been a hard time. So I feel like for me, that's like lingered around recently. But those are kind of like obvious reasons to cry. I can't remember the last time.
That's
which is
totally,
okay. I'm not diminishing it. I'm just also saying I'm trying to remember the last time that maybe I just was like so sad about something else. But
you've cried without like an obvious stimulus?
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
All the time I'll just be like, I'm so sad, I'm just gonna cry.
Oh, girl, right? Drop the album. That's amazing. I mean, that's obviously not. Or is that a bit? Oh my God, crying is so weird.
Wait,
crying
when's
is so
the
weird.
Last time you cried?
Soul, the movie Soul.
Oh, I teared up in that, but I didn't cry.
Okay, now another amazing question.
Okay, is there a
Do
difference?
You think, this is, I'm reading this book called Adult Crying, a Biopsychosocial Approach. And do you think that crying means a tear must fall from eye, or if someone tears up in soul, is that not crying? Because there's like a really interesting thing that humans do where we go, oh, you almost cried. But you're like, no, a tear didn't fall, but I was clearly crying, if you want to define it from like endocrinology.
Yeah. I
like you said,
teared up. Yeah. I guess it's to me not a spectrum, but a scale. Right. So I imagine it like, yeah, I kind of started to cry, but I didn't go all the way there. Cause there's a lot of times when, if I get started, then it's kind of easy to keep crying.
So that is biologically a part of crying, is that once you have started, it is harder to stop.
Yeah, and it kind of feels good, and it's easier to keep those emotions and even the mental imagery of stuff once you start. But in the movie, for example, like I teared up at like an impactful moment, kind of like you get the shivers, and then I had it, but I wasn't like so sad. It was for that movie, it was more like poignant for me than like crying. I don't know if I cry for poignancy. I know maybe some people do. I don't know if you do, but
for sure, Soul. I bet there's millions of people on this nation that Disney's Soul made them well up, but not a full cry.
Yeah, no, and also when I'm watching a movie, I'm kind of like, well, if I cry, I'm gonna get distracted.
So no, and I also cried in Nomadland, which is a really good movie that comes out in February. We torrented it. Sorry, we will pay at the time because I really want the director to get the money. So the moment when a certain person has passed away and that like you see they just had like those three goals in life and then you see that they like met them and you have the footage of it, I actually fully cried then, because I think I only welled up in Soul, whereas the Nomadland one I was like, I am fully crying. And in fact, if I wanted to, I could pause this movie if I was alone
and
maybe
just,
and just
like have a full cry.
Yeah, have a full cry. I mean, you might be at the point where you've known me long enough where it's like, okay, Greg's gonna have a full
Greg's
cry.
A crier in movies for
oh,
sure.
Oh boy, it's like the only way I can.
I think maybe I've mentioned this here before. It is, and it's also like will fully take me out of the moment because it can be so, I don't want to say over the top. It's not a negative thing. It's just like you cry very openly in movies and very loud. And it makes me laugh, probably because I'm uncomfortable with crying. Like,
which is so interesting, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not it like, could be, that's not something I'm proud of.
It's not, no, I know. And it's hard probably in the moment to go, I'm going to join you. Like, crying is such a weirdly isolating thing in many ways. And as we get into the studies, we might learn how you might be trying to, like, your body might not know what to do in that moment for a variety of reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
Including being like, what the fuck? Why are you wailing your eyes out? Because I do lose control. And I like to cry. It's like not
it's endearing.
Easy for me to cry. I think, like, in general, like, obviously sad, tragic things can make me cry. But the thought of you being able to go into a room and be like, I'm sad and cry is, like, extremely foreign to me. So when I get the opportunity through movies, like, I actually sometimes I'm like, let's fucking roll with this, baby. Billy Elliot's in and we gonna cry.
Oh, I can cry to Billy Elliot, let me tell you. Since I was a young lad, that movie made me cry.
My sister is so funny. She loved Billy Elliot. My sister also wails in the movie theater. Actually, I mean, I could tell many a story. My
and
mom
and how what a coincidence that you love whales.
There, yes. The blowhole in my case is snot out of my nose. My mom almost kicked me out of a movie ever after because I could not stop wailing. And, like, the people in the theater were like, we can't concentrate. But my sister also loved Billy Elliot. And I remember her crying for hours in the theaters. It was so funny. Like, there's that moment where they kind of reference the mom. And then the latter 40 minutes, like, he's just a boy, Billy. Oh, like, when they cross the line to the coal. And they're like, he's just a little boy.
Oh, my God. And I know. I know it's so sexist, but when what? Like a father figure cries, it gets to me.
Oh my God. These
that's baked into this ideal that, like, women are able in our society, like, not all, but I guess we're told as men that we shouldn't cry, right? So there's then this expectation that when a man cries, it's like he must be so sad that he can no longer hold it in.
That's which is so sexist. Yeah, and it's so rooted in, like,
but
the societal
it does
aspect,
like,
of crying.
In that movie when the father cries, and they also build it because he's, like, such a stoic figure that would never cry, and then it's like the climax of the film when he cries, right? Like,
yeah.
That's embedded
oh my
in
God.
Culture.
Billy Elliot's about crying, kind
oh
of.
My God.
But it I will say I do not relate to that at all. Women always are what make me cry in movies. That's really? What gets me. Mm. Like, it's so interesting that you can notice that. I hadn't even thought of that, but I really have a heart. Like, even Billy Elliot, I'm like, okay, like, I'll cry, but, like, it's not the dad for sure. The kid.
Oh,
and the
I know. It's
death.
Not just the dad. I just mean there. I know that's a narrative for others as well, where it's like when a like man who you wouldn't typically think would openly cry cries. Maybe, like, we're going to talk about this in my study too, like, understanding genuine sadness and what tears mean. I think there's an expectation that a lot of men would repress their crying. Like, they would never want to share it. So if they are, there's, like, this extra level of, like, oh my gosh, it must be so genuine, because otherwise for some men this would be so shameful.
Well, Mitch, that's so intense. Like, that's so interesting. No, and I can't, and no, I just also think it's interesting that you're able to, like, know that. I just wouldn't have thought about that when I cry in movies, but I'm like, you're right. That is definitely why that moment probably, like, a family movie where the dad cries and the mom cries, like, they're like that, men probably relate to that more. It's for men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say was that my sister, like, we got Billy Elliot for Christmas and we watched it and she got a phone call. She left for the whole movie. Like, me and my mom watched the movie and she was on the phone, came back, almost instantly sat on the couch, and it was, like, near the part where he's like, he's just a boy. She just starts wailing, like truly wailing and, like, and genuinely enjoying the movie. I'm like, right. You miss all the, how are you starting? Like, it was amazing to me, but I was like, our family, movies is where we cry. Mm-hmm.
It is. I want you to tell me about some science that you learned about crying.
Okay. So first of all, like, because I've been reading this book, I have, like, this sort of, like,
I want to read that book.
It's so interesting. But you talking about men and women and crying less and more, I think we should just talk about it now, because I just finished that chapter and it's, like, surprisingly not what you might think. Okay, first of all, studying crying is so freaking hard because you can't, like, they are always right. Like, we are having a hard time studying this because it's like, how do you go, like, make people
now cry?
Yeah. And you can't
other
physically
than maybe
hurt.
Pain tear. You could,
but it's not ethical.
Sure,
they're not. Yeah, they're not like, come sit down. I mean, like, wah! And, like,
right. But you could give, like, onion tears. You could, like, I'm sure there's some stimulus, or you could pinch someone.
But there you go. Okay, so onion tears. That is a form of irritation and chemical stimulation of tears. That is not crying. That's not psychogenic tears.
But is pain?
Pain is not psychogenic tears. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. That's what I meant. So maybe you could induce like those kinds of tears.
Yeah, which is a completely different neuronal system and lacrimal apparatus than emotional tears.
Absolutely bizarre that we cry emotional tears.
It's the only animals on the planet, potentially in the whole universe, which is why I'm obsessed with it. But also it's important for you to now and for people to understand that's why it's hard to study emotional tears. You're right that we could study like physical onion tears.
Yeah.
But emotional tears, it's like how, because it's so complex.
Like you like gotta like go to like places where people are sad and collect their tears.
You know what I mean? Oh my God, like but then that's so messed up.
No, like I know. It would always, like border this line of unethical.
Yeah.
For sure. Unless people were consenting, but even then it would be bizarre for sure.
But kind of like as like a science minded person, I'm like, can we just go to funerals and just be like, just like put the tears in here.
Okay, but that's twisted.
Is it twisted?
Yes.
Is it twisted? But like if I was like at a funeral, I'd be like, okay, well take some of my tears. That's really cool. And I'm just going to keep mourning over here.
There must be better ways than that.
I actually don't know if there is.
You would like, you would, like, you would, like, get people to come and join your study if they had just had a bad breakup. And then you'd be like, I really want you to think about how, you'd get a therapist and be like, talk about how sad you are and just try and prompt them to cry.
I love that. Like a lab coat being like, so that breakup, babe, pretty dang bad.
Pretty's
doing well on Instagram. So one thing they do is play sad movies and on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Honestly, it's like book us with the Billy Elliot and Mitch is going to be crying because of the dad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be crying because of the mom and we will cry. So they do that. They do use movies and try and make people cry. And what they have found through studies is that women cry more in those situations.
Like in movie type
in
situations.
In these lab tests where they're playing movies and they do through a variety of psychological studies think of women as more empathetic and able to cry
like
more,
connect more with those characters, feel what they're feeling.
And then men, on the other hand, cry more from pain, which is really interesting.
Really?
Based on two studies. Again, I always just want to say blanket statement, really hard to study. These studies aren't
like so
black and white.
Like
but from like a couple studies, men cry more from pain, including in the ages of 11 to 16, like high school, when you'd think like, like boys are really trying
supposed
to, like,
to be so tough. Like,
yeah.
Pain especially. It's like, you're supposed to not cry when you're in pain.
Exactly. And self-reported crying, there's not much difference between men and women. So it's like, it's not
that makes sense
obvious.
To me. I would have thought like, if you said that I would think men would hide it more in public maybe, but would experience it probably just as much.
And crying when it comes to boys versus girls, like as younger kids, they find that there is sort of that switch off moment where guys start to cry less than girls around 11, and they can't tell if it's so obviously like what you said, like big boys
social,
don't cry social or also hormonal, they're going through puberty
and maybe it's physically or like
they literally gave testosterone
different.
They gave testosterone to mice and like their version of like sad like never happened, like it was like testosterone was like a poison to like it was
turned into angry maybe.
Yeah, they just had a harder time, like they did this interesting study on mice, but they were like, well, when mice get a shit ton of testosterone, they're like not like
sad.
Quote unquote crying, like
they don't cry.
Yeah, true. I mean, do they?
But you just said humans are, I mean, they might get sad.
True,
like
true.
Dogs can
Sorry.
Cry, whine, but they don't get tears out of their eyes.
Yeah.
Other animals, you know, elephants are known to be emotional and sad and connected. Like when they lose a friend or a child or something, like they mourn, but I don't know if they're crying tears.
That's so interesting. Elephants don't cry emotional tears. As we said, humans are the only ones, but they cry very often
like
from irritants.
Vocally? Oh, really?
Yeah. And in fact, there's this really cool moth that survives by irritating elephant's eyes and drinking the tears.
So, oh my gosh, but that's the irritant.
Yeah, okay. And people actually, as you said, like we think elephants and crying because there's like folklore around it because they actually produce so many tears from the irritants.
I hate that so much. Imagine we had moths that bothered us so much to drink our tears. How upsetting that would be.
I also love the, like, it is so epic to be like, I'm going to drink your tears, bitch.
I know what I mean?
Like, what, like, ew, those moths?
Just imagine, like, sitting doing your work and, like, a moth trying to land on your eye. I would hate that. I would cry because I'd be like, I can't live in this world. Oh. Like when I go to a butterfly conservatory, even I'm like, oh my God, there's too many around me.
Oh my God. That is a really good like horror film for you. It's like going in and all of a sudden, like all these butterflies, like, I think they're trying to drink my tears. And like, no one will believe you. Yeah. Arachnophobia, but butterflies drinking your tears.
Or it's that it's coming. What's that movie called? Where like it's like a STD that follows the people.
It follows.
Yeah. Imagine it's just a butterfly. Yeah. And you're like, I swear it's just one butterfly. And everyone's like, okay.
And everyone else sees it as this beautiful butterfly. So they gaslight you. But when you see it, it's like a treacherous moth. You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, yeah. And like, look at its eyes. And they're like, what? The eyes are so gorgeous. Beautiful. Yeah. That would actually probably be about you going insane though. You know, like, at the
yeah,
end,
but that
like,
would be me.
End. Yeah.
I am afraid of butterflies. Like, I think they're beautiful, but it's like, as soon as they fly towards me, I'm like, you're way too unpredictable.
I feel so bad because I really like moths, but I think you're like, when we are up north, for example, you get scared of them. And I'm like,
I'm
not going to help you by saying they drink elephants' tears. Like, that's scary.
And moths, like, I think all animals are beautiful and amazing creatures, but truly butterflies are way cuter than moths. And moths, because moths are like hairy. And also the way they fly is so erratic.
Oh my gosh, it's just towards the light because I think it's the moon.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, I can't. It's like a spider where you're just like, you could go any which direction right now, and that is terrifying to me.
Huh, interesting.
And it's kind of like, why are you flying into me?
Because, okay, it's because you turned on your flashlight.
I know. I understand that it's not their fault, but sometimes I feel like spiders like will run in the wrong direction.
Oh my God, okay, girl. Spiders so scary. I will have you with the spiders.
A moth moths? Is an air spider. That's all I
Oh my
have
gosh.
To say.
Okay, see, to me, know what moths are? Weirdly like baking soda. Like when you hit them and then you're like, why does that turn into a pile of baking
that's
soda?
That's true.
I think that's part of why I'm not scared. Like the few times where maybe I've killed one or mistakenly stepped on one and looked at their little like puff, like angel powder.
Honestly, if it wasn't unethical, it would be like an amazing drag makeup.
Oh, they've done moth drag makeup.
They've used moths?
No, remember Shea Coulee, her inspiration.
Oh, but I mean like literally, like you know when you touch a moth and it's like shimmery.
Oh, you mean like insects
makeup.
On your face?
I said it. No. Like you would take the powder from them.
Oh my God, Mitch.
I said if it wasn't unethical, okay?
Do you think moths? I love it.
I'm like whenever it gets on my finger, I'm like, ooh.
You're like, I'm so scared of moths, but grind that shit up and then I'll put it on my face. No problem. I'm like, isn't that scary to drop dead moths on your face?
I mean, I'm sure people have put dead animals on their face. Like, isn't that what they did for like lipstick, like beetles and like blush and stuff?
And people wear like dead foxes around their neck when they're like,
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying when I touch a moth, I'm interested in how shiny it is.
Okay. Well, where did this come from?
Crying, they try to eat your tears.
Sometimes horror people film. Comment on this podcast. They're like, it's really interesting, but like sometimes they deviate so much, and then they're like, maybe they should stop deviating. Like 3 out of 5 or whatever. It's like always about deviating, and now I'm like, oh shit, why are we talking about moths?
But no, yeah, you know what?
Tears. Come on.
I'm sorry. That's just the way life is.
No, and I think that maybe other people like it. Comment below if you like it. Okay. We're back. So when we cry as kids, it is likely babies a response in order to get caregiving from our mom.
You just that was so weird. You were like, when we cry as kids, it is likely babies.
Yeah. Because I realize I'm like, it's not as accurate babies. To say like kids because these studies are on babies.
Okay.
Right? When I say kids, you picture probably not a baby.
Yeah, I pictured like a 6-year-old.
Sorry. So you come out of the womb crying. Crying is an evolved
babies.
Trait. And babies. In humans do get caregiving from your mom.
Okay.
And there's really, that's for me where the most robust science is, like the biophysiology of a baby's cry can actually like produce milk in the mom, like all these really interesting things. And then what happens is as babies start to grow up and have the ability to speak and actually their certain cortexes of their brain increase for language, they are able to then cry less, they think, because they no longer, they can communicate differently with their caregiver to get what they need.
Right.
When you're young, it's actually the first thing you do.
And crying is just kind of like this one source signal that can be like any, even as a parent, you're like, okay, they need something. I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I've got to figure it out now. Are they tired? Are they hungry? Are they wet?
Exactly. And they cry apparently 3 hours, every 3.5 hours after feeding. Like it's like,
as a signal of like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. And then also interesting things where at first they cry, I think it's 4 months, in general, wailing, like there's no pointed anything. But after 4 months, they start to notice the babies will point their cry to their caregiver. Like they'll like reach and cry, like be like, I need you. Whereas before that, it's like, they're just
something help me.
Yes. Yeah. It literally like, God help me. And also I know it's like, what does it mean about being born a human that the first thing you do is come into this world crying? And then the doctor's like, check, emotionally devastated, good, healthy.
Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like not crying. Something's wrong.
Literally like not crying. You're here and enjoying this world. Wow. Something is up. You are probably need to study your brain.
We need to break you.
Yeah. Like literally you're not broken. Not good. Actually, like that's a brilliant metaphor for how messed up life is.
But no, but also how normal and healthy crying is.
Exactly. And there's just some interesting, not that good studies though about crying really has evolved so that we get people to come and make us feel better as a signal that we understand, you know, it feels better to help them. They need help. And that like maybe we have evolved to cry so that you will look after me and like hug me and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Crying. Just so special.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I'm obsessed with it and I wish I could do it more. Can you practice crying?
Of course. I think you can practice anything. And I think just giving yourself space to be in your emotions is like practicing crying. Because I would say that for me, I have noticed that I have a harder time crying in a movie, even Billy Elliot, if you're there. And obviously that's a social construct that is a problem. Around
other
people.
Or anyone.
No, anyway, yeah. Not
I'm
just,
like, am I that dead inside? Yeah,
and
like,
when you're around.
Cry.
No, I just mean when I'm not alone. It's so much easier for me to cry when I'm alone. So obviously there's that element of practice and allowing yourself to be comfortable.
Yeah.
To get to the point of that vulnerability. It's like inescapable vulnerability when you're crying.
Yeah, for sure. And once you start, it is harder to stop. That's one thing that it physiologically is hard to stop. So sometimes there's like this trepidation. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control myself. Like, it's like you get really like, if you're alone, you can go, okay, it's like, not going to matter. The time.
Yeah, yeah. And I can like really indulge in this. I want to talk more about this, but should we take a little break? And I have a really cool study about how we interpret tears.
Yeah,
but,
crying is like, it makes you feel weird. Like I feel weird. I'm like,
okay, we will be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not quote unquote self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/sidenote. That's BetterHelp.com/sidenote with a special offer for Sidenote listeners to get 10% off your first month. And you can join 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Okay, so yes, crying is weird. I'll talk a little about my study and then we can pick up any last minute conversations around this,
because
it is like there's so many interesting things that could be just talked about how you relate to crying. But my study was on how tears impact our visual attention. So viewing somebody who's crying, what happens to the person that's watching them? And the study came out in December 2020. So it's a really new study.
Oh, cool.
So basically, it was kind of one of those classic studies. I think this kind of has maybe been done before, but they put eye trackers on the participants. I don't know what that is or what that looks like. I think it's software that evaluates where your eyes are looking while you're like viewing something.
There's so obviously technology around that because so many studies use that now.
Yeah, to see like, even for social media, I think they use it. They study like where your eye goes because they want to put the most, or like the things that'll make you buy stuff there.
It's like social media truly has control over our brain. If that's what they're doing, like, girl, find something else. Well,
if there's any indication, they should put tears on the screen because I'll tell you why. So basically, these people would be shown pictures of faces, and those faces were fairly neutral, so they called it a calm cry because they didn't want like all the signals of like a wailing cry or an extra sad face. It was just kind of like, you know, when you're sad and there's tears on your face, like that kind of thing. And so those pictures were also duplicated to remove the tears, which I know they have done in studies before, just to see the impact of a face without a tear and the same face with
and
a
it's
tear.
Hard to tell if they're crying. Sometimes you think they're laughing at
exactly and so this study in particular was looking at like, so where do your eyes go, how does it change when you're viewing a face that has a tear that's the exact same as when it doesn't.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so the results showed that it was a completely different gazing pattern when there were tears on the face. So with tears, the participants spent way more time on the eyes and the right cheek, which in this case was where the tear was.
Oh my God, for sure. I can even think of that. Like, we know when like one tear falls in a movie, you're like focused on
it. Yeah, your eye. It's like, even like, this is not even necessarily conscious. It's just like your eye goes to the tear way more immediately. And it was a much higher number of fixations, so that's like more times that they're doing it and for longer compared to a normal face. Their eyes would have been, you know, more spread out. Maybe obviously your eyes would probably look at the person's eyes, but more evaluating the face as a whole. So ultimately it was just like the tears pull your attention. If there's a tear there, that is where a human looks, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then also they rated the ones that had tears as more emotionally intense and more sincere. So whenever a tear was there, it was like, I would be more like, I think in the study, they actually put phrases with the faces that would say like my boyfriend cheated on me. I actually think that was one.
Oh girl.
And so there was like, they were more likely to believe them and think it was genuine if there was a tear.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So ultimately it just said that this reveals that tears change how we perceive faces both qualitatively and quantitatively. So how our eyes look, how where they look, and how many times they look there.
That is so juicy, juicy. Like, it's so true. It's like this weird thing that we do that we don't even know why we do it. It's so cool to know, but like, we know we're obsessed with it. Like, we know that we're like, wow, that is a sign of something.
Yeah.
And I do and it think makes... that tear is so, it's like, what came first, chicken or the egg? Movies make us obsessed with the tear, or the movies are about like the thing we're obsessed with, which is like the single tear.
It has to be that one, Greg.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just like, I don't know. We do get taught in movies.
You're right. It's self-perpetuating.
Like, the spotlight kind of goes and it's like, oh my God, like Olivia Colman produced a tear.
Yeah, but I think it is that tears are evolutionary means of communication that is most of the time, I don't have a percentage, but let's say like 90%+ of the time, genuine and hard to fake. Yes, there are some people that can manipulate their tears, but most people can't. So when someone cries, it's such a communication that something is genuinely wrong.
Yeah. Know what's interesting? Okay, that makes me, the manipulation thing is a really fascinating part about this book too, because they say that men have a hard time empathizing with women, and or actually not just women, men have a hard time empathizing unless someone cries. Then they have, they're like, they find it.
Like switch. Yeah. It's like they, maybe it's like they don't quite believe it until there's a tear.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, maybe.
And so people do manipulate tears. They have found men and women are able to do it. And like the other study, they're like, well, maybe because like sometimes you need it and it's like the only way to get it. That they actually are like, people are like, you might have manipulated tears in your life more than you
realize.
Because
you, but is it manipulative? The question is, what are you manipulating? If it's because you need support, then is that really not what tears are for in the first place? Like, is that truly a manipulation that's conscious versus being like, I want to get something from someone and I'm going to now go cry because I know I can get it. Like, there's different kinds of manipulation.
I honestly think in those studies, I want to reread them and be like, what was their definition of manipulation? Because that's really interesting.
Well, one last caveat I didn't bring up from my study was that participants that scored higher on an empathy test, so all of them were given empathy tests, found their feelings towards the picture more intense in either direction. So they felt that when there was a tear, the person was more sincere. And then when there was no tear, they were more likely to disbelieve.
Huh, that's
Whereas people who scored less on empathy just like were more flat in terms of their response, which I thought was kind of cool.
So have you, like, I'm just thinking about these studies. These must be like psychology studies. Yeah. Like a lot of the ones that I...
Well, I guess it kind of crossed. Yeah, like they're not looking into the neurology in this case. It's really just, it's interesting because they have set up eye trackers. So obviously there is like this quantitative data that they can say, look, there literally is 17 times it looked at the tear. So it's not necessarily about how the brain is interpreting things. It's like the literal, here's how your body's actually functioning.
Wow.
But I do think ultimately it's psychology.
Yeah, because crying is also just like so interesting, because then I'm like thinking about the world, and I'm thinking about like when we were in India and how they so vocally were mourning death and crying in groups. Whereas like I feel like in the society that I can only understand in my upbringing in Canada, it's very like private. It's like even in the movies that we're fed, it's very like
you kind of hold it together until you're alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, like, I think I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these studies are like a Western context.
True.
And also, have you heard about like the issue with WEIRD, the acronym with psychology studies?
WEIRD?
Yeah. I'm wondering if we should make a video about this, but they've essentially found that so many of these studies are based on those like university courses where in order to get credits, you do a psychology. Like, we didn't take psychology.
Right. But it people, might be one of those courses that you like have to take, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, like I think when you're a psychology student, you have to, for credit, be involved in studies.
Okay.
So you like go That's and fun. You'll, yeah. So what they found out is that they, psychology studies have predominantly studied people who are the acronym WEIRD, which is like Western, industrialized. Like, so
yeah, that makes sense.
A lot of psychology research is being like
kind of questioned.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, challenged. This is a very,
say, like,
we should
this,
do this
it's one perspective.
Yes, exactly.
How do we now make sure it's like looking into other cultural upbringings?
Yeah, exactly. And socioeconomic statuses, like totally. There's so many. It's just an interesting thing that I was reading about recently and was like, I bet a lot of these studies of crying that we are talking about are in that world that I'm so curious about humans on this planet and their relationship
You're
to
right,
crying.
Because there is such different, even if everyone feels sadness, obviously everyone feels sadness from death, from tragedy, you're right, like there's a different sort of some cultures I think just not embrace death more, but can have cultural traditions around death.
We're literally so weird about death.
Yeah,
like funerals are so like cold and like the casket and the thing and the thing, and everyone's like, oh, what's our,
and it feels so taboo.
You know
even as people in like the world that we've grown up, I've never been really taught how to communicate about it without the fear of hurting someone more.
Exactly.
Without feeling like I could say the wrong thing and that could be awful. You know what I mean?
Know what else? It's like that single sort of like one Kleenex dab of the eye. Like at the, it's like, no, like we're all
just
so
cry.
Sad. Let's all cry. And I'm pretty sure whenever I'm at a funeral, I'm always like, oh, did you, they're crying. Like you're like, you're looking for like, the, like I cry the most, like I'm just thinking about funerals, when I see other people at funerals crying. I try to cry like the whole time because I'm like, and so, and I'm like, if I'm ever like, okay, I want to cry because I want, I look around and I go, there's one like me. And then I cry
or it's just like, you know, seeing someone else in pain and then having the kind of like empathetic part of you that goes, that hurts me. And someone else, presumably if you're at a funeral, you're around other people you know or love, like seeing other people in pain is really sad.
We should wail at funerals.
I mean, I think that is cool and beautiful. My only...
Me and like, I do ruin the funeral. I'm like... everyone's like, what is wrong? Like freaking... it's not your funeral.
Yeah, it's like, you don't even know the person. You're Mitch's partner.
I actually... yeah, okay, fine. You're right. There's a balance. There's a fine balance.
And there's a cultural sensitivity to being around. Who are you around? And also, some people might want to genuinely, like, yes, we get imprinted with our own social expectations, but surely some people naturally would be more likely to be private, and some people would be more likely to be outgoing with their sort of sadness. So I think there has to always be space for that, where it's like, it would be so nice if everyone could openly share it, but of course some people would rather do it privately.
And also, I love it's like, it has to be genuine. No, it is the worst when people fake cry.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm like, of course, like, it's like, it would be bad to be like, hey guys, now at the funeral we all wail, and yeah, then having people fake being like, what? Like, because in my life I think I like maybe have done it when I was younger. Know those people who you're like, you're not crying, like that's,
or so like the panic stricken if you were at a funeral and you're supposed to cry on command and you're just like, yeah,
that would make you feel way worse. That's so true. Okay, so like everything binaries, there's a happy medium. I think we're more towards that we need to cry more openly,
but yeah, and we're living in a time where even just talking about mental health and the openness to have that conversation, to leave space for it, to say, hey, you don't have to cry, but know if you do, it's okay. And you won't be shamed for it. It's not embarrassing. It doesn't show weakness. Like, we've definitely been conditioned from our generation, and of course the older generations, that crying is weakness.
Yeah, that's so
Whereas I do think that conversation is happening now, especially even towards men. It's like, it's men that cry, that's so powerful. You own and are comfortable with your emotions. Doesn't make you weak. Doesn't mean you have to cry. Doesn't mean if you don't cry, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
But if you want to, that's okay.
I honestly think that while we're alive on this planet, a big portion of like the general thing that we're going to be wanting to teach like men is like, you gotta cry more. You know what I mean? I feel like we're in the like men gotta cry more part of the textbook. It's right. Like, yeah, there's like, we realized that society had pushed men a bit too far towards the dangerous, violent anger part. And you know, like, I'm just like, yes, men should cry more. Oh my God. We should put on
such a release. Don't you feel that when you cry? It's like, it can be addictive. Like, you kind of mentioned that. I don't know if you had anything else to say on it, because it is. Sometimes when I'm sad, and I've read some and touched on some studies that are like, you know, when people are feeling depressed, even clinically depressed, they actually prefer to listen to sad music, and it actually is cathartic.
Hmm. Well, okay. What that makes me think of from the most scientific angle I think I can get at from that is that like when you're crying, there is this sense that so many things have welled up with in you that it's like broken past a threshold that you need to like let it out. Mm-hmm. So in the past, before the science caught up, there was a lot of sort of debunked science that's like prolactin and hormones actually leave your tears, getting rid of chemicals like stressors in your body. Mm-hmm. Like, people were really obsessed with this idea that it has to help. Yeah. Like, maybe the emotional tears,
it's like
evolved,
getting rid of something. Yeah, or,
but there's again, it's just really hard to study emotional crying. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is right, but there's not enough science, and some things have debunked that. But the language of it, the fact that you cry as a baby before you're able to develop language, kind of is what they also think about adult crying, is that it's situations where you emotionally don't know how to communicate your feelings. Mm. Oh, so it's like your lack of language, quote unquote, you now can speak English or like use your hands. But I mean, and if you're in other speaking countries, you probably can speak many languages, but as English speakers are really dumb. You still cry when you can't communicate an emotion. Is it
that's really cool? And honestly, I was going to say something similar, because I was going to say, we are so limited by our language that I think that's why music can be so cathartic, because even outside of being sad, I think music, even music without words, can express feelings that you literally cannot put words to. So sometimes I listen to like beautiful music, and of course if it's tied to stories you've heard or a movie or things that you love, I've literally had moments where I'm like, this is a feeling I've never got unless I've listened to this music.
I only cried and sold during the music parts. Like, I totally think that music is integral to a lot of the cries in my life, for sure. And you're right, it's like a language.
It's a language. Yeah. And I think that ties, of course this is anecdotal, but tied to that idea of maybe we cry when we can't express ourselves
properly. I honestly
or
cry
don't
to
understand
that,
our emotions. Well,
yeah, I cry to the recent SZA song, and I'll say in general, I cry to SZA songs. Like, I think I'm like, we all try to SZA songs, but I cried recently to a SZA song because I was like, that is exactly what I've been trying to say, and I've never been able to say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was mm-hmm. like a musician through a song.
Yeah. Says something where you're like, oh my
God. Yeah, because they're not like speaking English. They're not like, and it's hard. Like, yeah, like I mean, Dixie D'Amelio is not to drag, but like, she's like, I am sad now. Like, but like sometimes metaphors or these things, it's like books. It's like they're able to almost like have a new language to make you cry.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. That is the point of art, perhaps.
Yeah. Hey guys. So you tuned in to Side and we figured out what art was. Okay.
So are you going to try and cry more? Should we try and cry tonight?
I think it has to be genuine to do that. No. I would love to try and cry tonight.
Like, do something sad. Put on a sad movie. Put on
You're already music. Doubting. Let's cry tonight. Like, we can do it, right? We don't even need to. Do you think we need
Greg? Please
hold my hand and cry with me thine.
You look at me. You think you can do this? You think I'm not trying to be shady, but
I think I could do this. I'm sitting up straight.
We're holding hands right now. And I'm trying to look him in the eye and he won't even look.
Oh my God, I literally will cry now from looking in the eye of you. I literally think I could do this. I think I could cry right now.
Okay, cry.
Okay.
What makes you so
sad? My gosh, guys, would this go bye-bye if I cry right now? That's short for viral.
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Okay, guys. So under pressure, and if it's going to go viral, I could cry. You just watch me actually deflect in real time.
I know. You're panicking. It's okay.
It's
this
hard.
Is certainly not a moment to cry.
Okay. Let me try. Okay. Let me.
That is what is so impressive of actors as well.
Okay.
When they just like cry on command.
Mitch, will you try with me or I'm actually going to try? I'm truly going to try. And I know I keep...
I mean, I don't... Like, I'm down for this. I don't know how effective this will be on a podcast audio. Like, for the YouTube
Okay,
people.
you have to quiver the lip while I cry. Okay? I'm giving you 1 minute on the clock.
But I think I can fake start it, but it's not the same as a real...
Okay. You know? We're looking here. We're going to try. Okay? We can edit this out.
You're going to listen to this for 1 minute in silence. No, I can't do that.
Know what I do? I like yawn. Weird. I yawn, but then don't allow it to fully go, and then my eyes water. Is that a thing?
That's cheating.
Yeah, everyone on Degrassi used to do that. Like, I can see like Drake pretending to yawn cry. He can't act.
My gosh.
Actually, Drake was one of the better ones. Okay.
But we'll try off pod, and we'll come back, and we'll let you know if it worked. Maybe next week we can follow up on our cry session.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.